think last week was the real Bronco. They think that 6 weeks of dominant football and who he is. Let's go up and do what we gotta do. This is the hell. This is the hell. This is the hell.
Today is about each other. Today is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football can get knocked out tonight.
Okay, football fans.
Are you ready for some football?
Let's get back to some football.
Yeah, there you go.
And welcome back to NFL Easy Picks right here on KFAVE Sports Radio, where it is all a work. We are here the week 13 of the NFL season, winding down just a couple more weeks. The bye weeks are over. We are finally going to have 16 games from now till the end of the season, which, okay, it's only a couple weeks, but hey, I'm only a month really, but it's something. Something to look forward to, but this is going to be a very jam-packed episode. Enough with the babble and whatnot. But to, like always, if you want to get a hold of us right here at NFL Easy Picks, you can follow us on Twitter at NFL Easy Picks. Use the hashtag NFL Easy Picks, and your tweets will be right on this show. And if you want to send us an email, you can send us to the new and improved into the future email, NFLEasyPicks@gmail.com. That I still have anythingpicks@gmail.com, and I will still be checking it, but let's just keep everything branded together. NFLEasyPicks@gmail.com. And let's get this show started. Of course, I am your host, Heavy Setton, and we also have the Mob Jockey.
Gobble gobble.
We have FTW.
Duh.
And we have some special guests this week, because I promised a very special episode for our Thanksgiving episode. We have, returning to the show, Carp.
The real Thanksgiving was a month ago in Canada.
I would say this is an American podcast, and we talk about American things, but then again, I go on a Canadian podcast to talk about American things, so hey, whatever. And returning from last year, we have Dan the Cannon.
Howdy, pilgrims. Happy Thanksgiving.
And we have Miguel.
How you doing, boy?
Wow, I don't know whose accent was worse, Dan's or Miguel's.
Anyway, before we get to some of our normal things, we're going to start this show off with, obviously, last week there was the Chiefs losing to the Raiders. And this is completes what could be called the NFL circle of life, the any given Sunday circle, where you can connect every team and go around in complete circle by teams they have beaten. Last year when this happened, because we actually did talk about it, and I will review it because I love it so much, it went the Falcons beat the Rams beat the Texans beat the Chargers beat the Colts beat the Seahawks beat the 49ers beat the Cardinals beat the Panthers beat the Giants beat the Packers beat the Lions beat the Bears beat the Vikings beat the Steelers beat the Ravens beat the Browns beat the Bills. Let's hope that happens this week. The Bills beat the Dolphins beat the Bengals beat the Patriots beat the Broncos beat the Chiefs beat the Cowboys, the Cowboys beat the Eagles beat the Redskins beat the Raiders beat the Jaguars beat the Titans beat the Jets beat the Saints beat the Buccaneers, then back to the top, the Buccaneers beat the Falcons, and now, going back one more time for those playing at home, it is, we'll start with the Vikings beat the Falcons beat the Buccaneers beat the Steelers beat the Colts beat the Bengals beat the Ravens beat the Panthers beat the Lions beat the Packers beat the Jets beat the Raiders beat the Chiefs beat the Chargers beat the Bills beat the Dolphins beat the Patriots beat the Bears, God, that game was awful, the Bears beat the 49ers beat the Cowboys, the Cowboys beat the Rams beat the Seahawks beat the Broncos, Broncos beat the Cardinals beat the Eagles beat the Giants beat the Texans beat the Redskins beat the Titans beat the Jaguars beat the Browns beat the Saints, and back to the top, the Saints beat the Vikings. This is why,
you know?
this is why I love this sport.
Hey, could you repeat that? I think I missed part of the middle.
All right, so the Vikings beat the Patriots.
Cut out.
The Vikings beat the. No, I'm kidding. I mean, it's something that we brought up last year on the show, and I just felt like it happened again, and it has to be brought up of mention, because, like I said, also if you actually look for, if you just go to NFL, we'll go to Google, type in NFL Circle of Life, and some of these charts show up. And they'll actually show you, like, what the score was and what week it was that these teams beat each other. And like I said, it happened last year, it happened this year, and I want to say it happened 2011, if I'm correct. I could be wrong. But I don't know. Anybody got any comments on that? I mean, that's pretty just much me, just something that I love.
Well, you guys all have something in common in all of our fantasy football leagues. It sounds like the smackdown that I've been laying on your candy asses all season long. You guys personally have a circle of ass beatdown. Every league we're in, 10-1. Cannon's killing it this year. And oddly enough, it's Heavy Set, I think, who's beat me in both leagues, my only loss. How is that possible?
I don't know. We'll get to fantasy here in a while. That's coming, because actually I did notice that of two of those leagues, I'm in second place in both of them, and you're in first.
It might be an ultimate showdown in the bowl.
Let's hope so.
What would be really funny is if neither one of you make the final game.
Hey, Mop, it'd be funny if you made the playoffs in one of them.
I did make the playoffs in one of them. I'm in position as long as I win this week.
It was a must win for a lot of people in fantasy this week.
And a lot of it I can contribute to your fucking shitty Chicago Bears.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we're going to get into that too. But really, the circle of life thing, it feeds into what the NFL is all about. True parity, unlike any other league, at least here in America. I don't know how it is for soccer overseas, but here, you can go from worst to first on any given season. And
unless you're the Browns. Besides this year.
That's the great thing about the NFL.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And I don't know, because I sent out the notes, we'll move on to the next thing, but I sent out the notes right before the show, probably about an hour or so, but on a previous episode, Ant, one of our emailers, actually brought up how he thought the rest of the NFL the season was going to play out. Now, I just realized how when I did my homework, I didn't really put down the playoffs, how it was going to play out, but what I do have is, because ESPN has a playoff machine where you can sit there and pick every single game till the rest of the year, and it will show you how it's going to end for the season.
That's pretty cool.
And I figured, well, I know me, Mop, and FTW, and I don't know, did anybody else get a chance to do this too?
Yeah, I filled mine out.
You filled yours out? Awesome. But I'll start, because it's my show, damn it. Right now, this is what the playoffs would look like if the season were to end right now. The AFC, the Patriots, would be the number one seed. The Broncos would be the number two seed. The wild card games would be the three seed of the Bengals going up against the six seed of the Chargers. and the fourth seed of the Colts going up against the fifth seed of the Chiefs on the NFC. The Cardinals in first, Packers in second, third seed Eagles versus the sixth seed Seahawks, the fourth seed Falcons, good God, going up against the fifth seed Cowboys. All right. Here's how I have it playing out. I have still in first and second the Patriots and Broncos. I see that staying where it is. They're two of the best teams in the AFC, and I don't see that changing. The third seed would be the Colts at 11-5, going up against the sixth seed, 10-6, Miami Dolphins. The fifth seed, Kansas City Chiefs, going up against, yes, I'm reaching here, the 11-5 Cleveland Browns. Which, if the season plays out like I have it going, the AFC North in general would all be above 500. The team that I have in last place, according to my projections, would be the Baltimore Ravens at 9-7. Keep that in mind. The NFC, which I did two, and I'll just say this. One of them had the Bears being the sixth seed at 10-6, but then I thought about it, and I went, yeah, that's not going to happen. So,
no.
I have a more realistic, kind of more realistic, 8-8 Chicago Bears who don't make the playoffs. First seed, Green Bay Packers think they're going to move up to, the 49ers, second seed. Third seed, Dallas Cowboys at 12-4. Sixth seed, Detroit Lions, 11-5. Fifth seed, Arizona Cardinals, and the fourth seed, 6-10. 6-10, Atlanta Falcons, and if this were to work out, the NFC North would be by far the worst division in football in NFL history, which it's looking like that could happen regardless.
You mean NFC South?
What'd I say?
North.
Yeah. South. Like North, but opposite direction.
That also brings up the question, if you don't have a 500 record, should you lose your automatic playoff spot?
Yes.
I wonder
if they're going to get a home game. A better team is going to have to go to one of these shitty teams and play a game.
But really look at, like, for example, let's say it is the Falcons. Falcons aren't good at home. Everybody has beat the Falcons at home, except for every non-division team has beaten the Falcons at home.
They have the same record at home as they do, or almost the same. They're 2-3 at home and 2-4 on the road.
Non-division.
But they're 4-0 in the division.
I thought they were losing a lot of the non-division games.
That's the only games they've won. They've won four division games. Everything else they've lost. They've beat, it looks like they beat New Orleans, Carolina, and Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
All right, Mop, since you did your homework, what do you have?
Well, I think we pretty much agree on the first two of both conferences. I think Green Bay is going to be the one. Arizona is going to be the two. Now, here's where it gets muddled. I think Philadelphia is going to wind up being the three. And whatever shitty team comes out of the South, I'll throw a dart at Atlanta. Although if New Orleans, fuck, Atlanta.
I think it's going to come down to those two.
Unless
you see Tampa Bay or Carolina go on these massive winning streaks.
I just don't know if it matters. Well, if New Orleans gets in, I think they give somebody a trouble at home. But yeah, I got Dallas at 5, and then I've got San Francisco at 6. I just think they're starting to play better and starting to progressively get themselves together. AFC wise, New England, Denver, Indy at 3. I think the 4 is going to end up being Cincinnati, but I think it comes down to, because Cincinnati still has to play Pittsburgh twice.
Yeah. You're such a homer.
I know. Well, they are leading the division right now also.
I have the Browns in that same spot, so that's what I was saying.
Exactly. But I think Cincinnati's going to wind up. Plus, it gives them that there's no tiebreakers for them. If they have the same number of wins, they're in. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about tiebreakers because of the tie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for wild cards, good Lord. I think Baltimore's playing really good right now, so I'll give them one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas City? Sure, I'll go with Kansas City this time.
All right, Shane?
All right, for the AFC, I have number one, the Patriots. I have the Colts at number two. I have the Broncos at number three. The Chiefs at four. San Diego at five. And the Steelers at six. And then for
wait a minute. Do that one more time.
I don't think I went in the correct order because I was just
waiting. Yeah. Because I was like, wait a minute. There was no AFC North in the top four in your seats.
All right, then skip my homework because I fucked it up.
I thought you used NFL.com.
Yeah, apparently they did it wrong, or I did it wrong. One of the two. But anyways, I have Patriots and Packers in the Super Bowl.
Patriots and Packers. Yeah, we didn't. That's the only thing I didn't do was like do the playoff pitchers. Let me see. My preseason pick, according to how I have it going, is still likely, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, Super Bowl picks, I'll take, I think, Arizona because of the defense, and probably Denver, because I think Denver can go into New England and beat New England, and I despise New England.
Carp?
Right now for my AFC, first round bye, so obviously first and second would be New England, then Denver. And then for my wild card games, I got Cincinnati in Baltimore, Cincinnati 6th, Baltimore 3rd, and then 5th Kansas City going into the Colts for 4th seed. And for my NFC, I got the Packers in Arizona, 1 and 2 respectively. And then I have 6th seed Detroit facing Philly in 3rd place, and then 5th seed Dallas facing New Orleans, who just make it in with a 7-9 record. That's what I see. Super Bowl wise, I don't know. I can see Arizona playing at home against the Broncos, and the Broncos like getting their sweet revenge and smoking a team this year. But I'd really like to see the Packers. Obviously, I just don't think they have it to make it to the Super Bowl this year.
It's a weird thing about the Packers. They're a really good team, but the time they won the Super Bowl, they were the underdogs
against Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like they were the underdogs going in.
Yeah.
Like, to going into the playoffs. They were the wild card, and they got to the NFC Championship game, which I think at their position, they made the playoffs because they beat the Bears the last game of the season. So if the Bears would have beat them, which it was a very low-scoring game,
yeah.
You know, they would have been out. But it was that kind of thing of just squeaking in and then, boom, becoming champions. But every time they become the favorites, they choke, they crumble, somebody beats the shit out of them. I like the analogy that a friend of mine uses that all Packers stockholders should sell their shares to Colin Kaepernick because he's the one that really owns them.
Well, that, and I just feel like the Packers are playing their best football now, and it's still 5 games from the playoffs.
I don't know about their best football after what I watched against Minnesota.
What did they do the 2 weeks before it, though?
Oh, yeah, they put up 50, no problem. Oh, they sat Rodgers in the half each time?
Let's not talk about him.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about
him. I think in two games he played one full game in two games.
Let's not talk about it.
And he scored 100 points pretty much in those.
Okay, we can move the fuck on whenever you're ready here. I mean, I'm just saying.
All right, let's get into the next portion of the show, and we will go with how our teams did last week. And let's start with... I'm going to go, because I actually got to watch a game. the Browns and the Falcons. They fucking won a game. I'm getting used to this year, but this game was heart-wrenching. This was almost the old Browns, where you're thinking, oh, like, especially a touchdown at the last minute, or a field goal at the last second, with 45 seconds left. It's like, oh my God, can Brian Hoyer get this team down the field? And then, of all things, Billy fucking Cundiff hit a field goal. And I was actually surprised it happened. We won. I was amazed.
You guys had no right to win that game. Whatever his...
No, but at the same time, the Falcons had no right to win that game.
No.
Either.
Well, the game was shit to start with. But at the end of the game, to call a fucking timeout when you have the ball trying to run down the clock before you kick a field goal to win it is stupid. Atlanta deserved to lose that game. They really did. That was piss poor.
NFC South. Worst the division in football. Actually, if I'm correct, the Browns have swept the division. No, we got Falcons. I mean, we still got Panthers left. My bad.
Yeah, that's not exactly an accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, at least we're not that bad. Browns, that is. Since we have a fellow Bears fan, let's talk about the Bears and the Buccaneers. Personally, all I got to say is we won. They suck. We suck, but we don't suck that bad. Dan?
Yeah, it's been a rough season for Bears fans all around the world, but I still like our chances next year. I do. I think we're just a couple pieces away, and this will be a good learning experience. It's just been a rough year to endure as a Bears fan, I'm not going to lie, but I stick by my team. I still see a lot of good franchise pieces there, and I still believe in Trestman, where a lot of people don't. So just got to stay with your team. It's part of not being a fair weather fan is you got to go through the bad times, and we know all about that as Bears fans. But I still like the squad. We just need to draft hard on defense, couple acquisitions, everything will be all right. But they should finish probably. I think they'll make a nice little push here towards the end. And one thing you guys can't forget is this is the time of year where the weather starts changing. We turn into more of a smash-mouth football. The league goes through a transformation, and the Bears have a lot of pieces that can do that. A huge team, a cold city, Forte is great in that environment. I think the Bears finish strong and fall short of the playoffs, but respectable when it's all said and done.
If anything has taught me about, you know, going through tough times, it's not being a Bears fan, it's being a Browns fan.
All right.
Just saying. But I think with the Bears, and I've said it before, is I don't know whether it's Trestman or Mel Tucker, but I'm not a big fan of going through head coaches like underwear. Let's let some of these guys stick around for a while, but when it comes to coordinators, those guys might – their life is a little bit different. And with Mel Tucker and this defense is horrible. This defense is Swiss cheese. This defense is what put 50 points on the board for the Packers. Granted, it was Aaron Rodgers, but when the defense ain't doing shit and you're giving him an easy day at work, we gave him a half day at work. Who doesn't like a half day at work? And that's pretty much what he did. And that's to me, like I said before, that's just the biggest thing that needs to change is the defense. I don't know if they'll end that high. I think I said it before. I think it's a 6-10 team.
7-9, and here's my big bold prediction: Rex Ryan gets fired from the Jets and joins the Bears as their defensive coordinator. Takes a step back from the head coach regime as Trestman falls off. Rex Ryan steals his seat. I think Rex Ryan would play so well in Chi-Town. The guys would just. The city would love him. I think Rex Ryan eventually winds up the head coach of the Chicago Bears, but is their defensive coordinator next year.
I'm, think,
Blue Raider.
I'm thinking he'll be the defensive coordinator, actually, of any team, the Cleveland Browns.
There's no way his arrogance would not allow him to take a step down to defensive coordinator.
When you have a team playing as bad as his team is this year, you might have to. Or you walk away and you say, I'm going to chill for a couple years.
No, if the Jets are dumb enough to fire him, he will have a head coaching job next year somewhere.
I'm just wondering as well, Trestman was super defense-oriented when he was here in Montreal and won two championships with the Alouettes. Now, I know a team league and you guys can take your shots, but, I mean, he blitzed every second or third play. He always had his defense blitzing. And then I'm wondering if maybe Cutler's not listening to Trestman. That's my other thing.
I don't know. I think I've heard that could be part of it. I wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, Cutler has really... I could give him a little bit of credit because he's been through so many systems of, like, offensive coordinators and all this and that, and you got to just wonder, like, when is enough, and I don't know. I'm almost at a loss for words for it, too.
It's 2 years in, and he's still coming out of a three-down league, so Cutler should be, it should be a pass-heavy offense as well, and I don't know, I haven't watched too many Bears games this season, so.
The weapons are there for the passing game. I almost wonder if he has regressed, if he's come back, you know, getting that big payday, and it's too much pressure for him, and now it's showing on the field.
See, I don't think so. I think it's a matter of the defense. And number one, the offense doesn't stay on the field long enough, and that's hurting the defense. We see what it can do for Dallas when you ground and pound. The Bears actually are a pass-heavy offense for the most part. About 70% of their offense goes through the air, and it's usually dump-offs to Forte or little passes to Bennett, but nevertheless, they're passes. And quite honestly, I think Cutler is the best he's ever looked in his career. I've sat through the early Bears years and the Broncos, and he always had a problem holding on to the ball too long. And in Chicago, he was always under duress. I mean, there was a constant rush on him. His line sucked. This is really only the second year where he's had protection, but his dropback's fast. His release is quicker than ever. From everything I've heard, him and Trestman get along beautifully. I think everything's great on the offensive side of ball. We just need to step it up on the defense. And special teams is a huge problem in Chicago. The coach there says that he really doesn't want to put his best players out there, and he can't put the young guys in. And it's really an unnecessary phase of the game. And it's catching a lot of heat. I listen to Chicago radio, and it's the big talk of the town right now is their special teams approach is all types of messed up. And it's showing on the field, and that used to be our strength. So another problem.
Well, you can't discount the fact that in the receiving core, it's been nothing but injuries all year long. Between Marshall and Jeffries, one of them has been hurt almost every single game. And that's really, really rough for a quarterback.
His mechanics are solid.
My big bold prediction for the beginning of the year is just five games away, from coming true, and that is Jay Cutler will go the full year without getting injured, and that is actually a big feat for Jay Cutler.
I want to knock on wood for that one.
I don't have any around me. Fuck. But then again, I said at the beginning of the season, I made 3 bold predictions. One's already come true, and that the Browns will be the Steelers. The second one was Manziel would start over Hoyer, which that doesn't look likely anymore.
Well, but, now that could come true if, like, week 17 they are
already
in the playoffs.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to go the other route. I was going to be like, no, shut up! I don't care that I got a Manziel jersey. Shut up! We're winning.
That's it. Wait. That's if Manziel stays out of prison between now and then.
Trust fund kid. He's not going to end up in prison.
Charges weren't pressed.
Oh, wait. That's right. It was against his entourage.
Yeah, and charges weren't pressed. Right.
Way to show yourself to the fans, buddy.
Right. Charges weren't pressed.
And neither were they weren't charged against Ben Roethlisberger either. Are we really going to go there?
Yeah, but he was actually accused of something, and Manziel really... It was just his entourage. Like, he got Snoop Dogged.
Uh-huh.
Assault was the case that they gave me.
Isn't that the same excuse Allen Iverson used and Ray Rice used?
I thought Allen Iverson, he used practice?
We're
talking about practice. We're talking about practice. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about, since we have a fucking cheesehead here, how about the Packers win over the Vikings?
Closer than it should have been, that's for sure. Especially after what they did the two previous weeks. But wondering if they're just kind of taking it back since they know they should more or less be playoff bound and short of a complete collapse. So,
did you see what Aaron Rodgers did postgame?
Nope, I missed that.
Did he spell anything?
No. We actually do have learned that he's actually a good speller. He can spell relax. No, I don't know if it was at a press conference or whatnot. He was drinking a bottle of, I don't know if it was a bottle or a can of Purple Crush.
Nice.
Get the similarities. Yeah. He's a funny asshole like that, so.
Discount double check, buddy.
Oh, I love that guy tearing his groin doing the discount double check celebration. That was gold.
I think there been a couple things this year where people have done like stupid celebrations and they got injured because of it.
Yeah, the guy that jumped, what was he, jumped up in the air, come down wrong and tore his ACL and was out for the season.
Also, there was the one Bears player that sacked the replacement quarterback for the Patriots, did a celebration, and got injured.
Oh, God.
Anyway, let's...
Yeah.
But on the Packers game, I actually like Minnesota's defense a lot. So maybe it wasn't so much that they're backing off. I think Minnesota's defense is really, really good.
Yeah, if you look at the stats, they've held... Like, points against, they're in, like, the top 10% of the league. They've done a really good job on the defensive end of the ball this year, without doubt.
And the scary part is, I think they average age is, like, 22 or 23 on that team.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's
yep.
Cool. I mean, I'm not more or less worried for the rest of the season. If Minnesota looks good, you know, even if they get a couple more wins, they still have no chance this season, so I'm not too worried about them. It's really the Packers and Detroit who are going to be battling it out for that first spot in that division. So.
Right, and the Lions look like they're doing the usual Detroit. You jump out to a big lead and then just fall off the face of the earth.
We'll see if they're... I know they broke it last year, but we'll see how their Thanksgiving curse works tomorrow.
Well, let's hope that Thanksgiving curse stays well, but we'll talk...
I was going to say, that's Chicago, right?
Yeah, we'll get to that one later. Let's talk about how about the Bengals and the Texans.
They kicked the shit out of them. I didn't pick them to win it. I picked Houston to win that game. But it looks like Cincinnati's starting to get back together on offense. Of course, now they have everyone back healthy-ish. So they're starting to get better. I mean, that's all I can ask for.
They look back at that Thursday night game and was like, what the fuck?
Dude, they can't play on Thursday. If they're not playing Sundays at 1 o'clock, they can't win. It's Andy fucking Dalton.
you love Andy Dalton.
Yeah, he's my favorite player.
All right, since we got Miguel here, let's talk about the Broncos and the Dolphins.
Well, that was a good game. A little too close, but... These guys are. I don't have too much faith in my Broncos right now. Anybody who's gonna make it through the gauntlet of the playoffs, you got to be healthy. Number one, And number two, you got to have an offensive line. And since last year, these guys have moved people from right tackle to right guard. And the only person that's in the same position is the left tackle, which is Ryan Clady. So the same exact thing that was their downfall last year in, with Seattle, I could just see that being the same exact thing. And then the one way they beat New England last year was with their offense, and now they fixed that with Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis, he can cover their second guy easily, and then they can double team Demaryius. Welker doesn't exist anymore, and Julius, you know, he's hobbled now. So things are not looking that great. We'll just see if they can get healthy and go from there. But a little worried about New England.
Yeah, I can't think of another time I've seen Peyton Manning get hit that much. I mean, he's getting hit a lot.
That was a really good game too. I watched it and I was rooting for Miami because I don't know, I've just never been a big Broncos fan, but the injuries are hurting Miami really bad now, and I think that's how Denver pulled that off at the end.
Well, Denver's just got so many weapons though on offense. I mean,
but like you got the receivers that are experienced players going against rookie, you know, cornerbacks and safeties. They're just going to exploit them, and that's what happened at the end.
Really, I think the big question for Denver is going to be how they do against New England. I think that's really what it comes down to, and they have a really good secondary. Picking up that guy from Seattle, whatever his name is, the really big corner there, Browner, I think. And now Darrell Revis as well. I mean, they're going to be able to lock Denver down. Perfect for Demaryius on one side. I just can't imagine they get by New England this year. And coming off of the most prolific offense in NFL history last year, the Broncos, true or false, they currently lead the NFL in scoring, which they clearly did this time last year.
False.
What do you think, Miguel?
I'd still say true.
I gotta say false.
Yeah, I'm gonna say false.
It is indeed false. They're actually fifth in scoring right now, behind teams like the Colts of all teams, the Eagles, who else? There's somebody else. The Packers, of course, and the Patriots, who currently are lead the league in scoring right now. The Patriots, which is pretty impressive.
Damn. Honestly, I think it'll come down to which one of those two gets home field advantage. I think that'll be the biggest determining who wins that potential matchup.
Yeah.
And let's get into the last game of our teams. We get to once again kill two birds with one stone. Eagles versus the Titans. Shane, Moff, fight.
Well, the Titans fielded a team.
Yeah. It was a good bounce back from that fucking Green Bay game, so I'm happy with it.
Well, you want to talk about the Green Bay game?
Not at all.
Dude, I'd be happy to talk about any win, period, from Tennessee. Tennessee's they're bad. I mean...
Can the Eagles go anywhere with Sanchez as quarterback in the playoffs?
I don't. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's coming in, you know, from the Jets and that nightmare, and it's a different offensive system. So like I said last week on the show, I'd like to see him finish out the season, let Foles rest up, and then I don't see them either one of them being the quarterback of the future for Philadelphia. So I don't know. I'd like to be proved wrong with one of them. I just don't know. They're too iffy with me.
As long as he takes care of the ball, that team will be fine. It's when he starts trying to force things and fumbling and he had three of them in the game against Green Bay, didn't he?
Yeah, we're not talking about that game though. Remember, I think that didn't happen.
Too bad, considering that's one of the three games we can talk about him starting as a quarterback.
Right.
But yeah, as long as he takes care of the ball, the rest will come into play because they have a ton of weapons also.
Yeah, and it's just not their offense. Their special teams is lethal. Their defense is good at times.
I was going to say it's better than I thought.
Their offense is, I mean, that could they can pull any play at any time they want with their no huddle, but I don't know.
Ask Miguel about your kicker. Yeah. 24 points this week in fantasy. Miguel sent me a crybaby text after he lost in fantasy at the end of the week. He said, we got to get rid of kickers next year. Kickers have no place in fantasy.
Yeah, but in Miguel's defense, wasn't he saying at the beginning of the year too?
Yeah, he said that he said that several times this year.
One year I was eliminated in the playoffs because Mop picked up Seattle. It's defense, hey. I'll never forget it. It good, still haunts me to this day. It's part of the game.
It was a good fantasy move, damn it.
Dot your I's and cross your T's, man.
Oh, what was it? The crazy pickup from Miguel this season. My first loss was pretty much because somebody picked up, on a spur of the moment, Emmanuel Sanders.
Spur of the moment? Dude, that was a genius trade.
But I'm saying, you picked him up that week.
Yeah.
And then of all weeks, he put up, what, 30-some points?
He's a pretty good player, though. Who do they love?
Sorry.
Spider-Man or something.
You tell them that's the wrong podcast. They have to listen to Old School at the Movies. When actually, I don't know if maybe The Amazing Spider-Man 2 made it on the top list for the year. I don't know. But
oh, come on now, please, no.
God, I hope not.
That was awful.
I may boycott the show if that happens.
All right, let's get into actually the. A review. I mean, granted, this is a big show, and it's going to take longer, so I'm sorry for the regular listeners, but let's get into, like I said, as I'm waiting for this to load, because I didn't have it uploaded all the way, and I'm stalling for time.
You can't get it up here?
You.
Ooh, a deer!
This was a cut-and-dry week. When it came down to picks. I mean, granted, Dan didn't want to play our reindeer games this week and didn't pick anything.
I'm still pissed off. I was leading in points, and then somehow magically, and you even saw the picture, I took a snapshot of my picks that week, but mm-hmm. It didn't go through, and there's no way to adjust it, and it killed my momentum.
You were still in like...
I know, but it's just all I can keep thinking about is, dude, where's my 11 extra points?
Well, this week, we all happened to not see the coming that the Oakland Raiders would pull together a win, because they surprisingly did, but everybody got...
A bunch of them.
Yeah, Indy, Green Bay, New England, Philadelphia, Denver, San Francisco, and Dallas. Soccer fucker, Mart, decided he would be the only one to go against Chicago, and that backfired on him. Once again, and soccer fucker, along with Jack, decided that the Falcons were going to beat the Browns. Ha, suck it. Jack and also, like, Mart didn't do too well this week. He was last place with 9. It was him, like I said, him and Jack picked Jets. Everyone else was kind of split down the middle. But the order of the rankings for the week, we had Mart at 9, Jack at 10, Miguel at 10, Shane at 11, Ant at 11, me at 11, Mop at 12, DRG at 13, and Carp also at 13.
Yeah, if it weren't for fucking Oakland.
And New Orleans.
Yeah, and New Orleans.
Yeah, that yeah.
And the list, the rankings, are as follows. For the running total. As once again, I wait for it to load.
Should we do a song and a dance?
Yeah, that was enough. Still in 12th place, Fart NATO at 15. 11th place, Real Joe B. Jr., who doesn't care anymore, at 57. Started at the top. Now he's here. 10th place, Dan, 93.
Yeah, default.
Miguel at 9th place with 94. Mart, 8th place with 99. 7th place, Shane with 104. I'm sitting pretty. Not really. I'm sitting in the middle. 6th place. And this is where the race kind of starts getting tight. Almost tighter than what we had. Jack, 5th place with 111. Mop, 112. Tied with Carp for 3rd place. Ant the Vigilante, 2nd place with 114. And Mr. DRG, 117. Taken 1st place by storm. We've had a couple people in 1st place. We had Dan before he fell. Ant for a couple weeks, and now DRG is poking his head up, and we'll see how everything goes for this week. Going into fantasy, which...
Oh, God.
Well, we
say it every year. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to do terrible, so, you know, maybe I won't play fantasy football. I take a year off, and it's like people convince me to come back, and I still suck at it.
Yeah, well, same here.
Well, the good thing is we have 3 of the bottom 4 teams in the league on the call right now. Yay!
Yeah, we have 10th place. Oh, no, technically a tie for 9th. Carp, you are tied with the Real Joe B. Jr., who probably hasn't played since the beginning of the season.
It's been that kind of season. I'm at my Sunday morning volleyball, getting some exercise in, check my phone as soon as I'm done, and I see 2 of my guys are up for the day.
Now, the real question is are you wearing those funky little shorts they wear for volleyball?
No. This is a dude's league, and
No spandex booty shorts?
No. I don't quite have that flattering figure anymore. So
we're just asking for Shane.
Discussions. I want nothing to do with it.
No, Shane cares more about. Never mind.
Okay, moving on. All right.
Speaking of Shane, in 8th place, yep. 4-8. 7th place, you're not so champ.
No, I'm still the returning champ. As long as I can stay ahead of Shane, I'm happy.
Yeah, you gotta. As soon as you don't make the playoffs, you're no longer the champ.
No, but you're the champ.
You're the champ.
I am still the champ.
You're pretty much not defending.
Just like Brock Lesnar, I don't have to be there every week, but I'm still the champ.
Yeah, but you have to be in the match.
No, Brock doesn't. I don't.
You don't make the playoffs. Your title is vacated.
As soon as the season's over, then I will lose and not become the champ anymore.
Okay. It'll be soon.
5 weeks or so still.
Anyway, a tie for 5th place, myself and Boops. Miguel.
Stupid auto draft.
I auto drafted almost all my leagues. And I'm winning 2 of them. And you're in 2 of them.
It's luck.
No, I wasn't able to get him in it on any of my hints.
No, because you didn't auto-draft and pick fucking Cutler.
No, I got auto-draft. I auto-drafted Cutler a couple times.
Yes, air quotes, auto-draft.
No, I wouldn't. I never purposely pick Cutler. Why would I purposely pick Cutler?
Because you're a homer.
Why would I pick Cutler when I could pick other quarterbacks who are good? Actually, any team that I have Cutler on, he was drafted to my bench.
Because Hoyer was way too far down for you to pick him?
No, because it's auto draft. He would be drafted to my bench. I think one league, Cam Newton was drafted to my team. Drafted to the starting position. Cutler was drafted to the bench.
And how do you have a winning record again?
I don't remember which league that was in. That was in one of my 10.
How many teams make the playoffs in this league?
I don't remember. You're in the playoffs, so what are you crying about?
I want to know if I have a bye week or not.
No, it looks like just the top four, like traditional, just top four.
Yeah. I never knew about bye weeks until I joined your leagues. Which makes sense, but I don't know. I've always liked just, I think, top four. As long as the championship game happens on week 16, I'm happy. Because I was in one league where the championship game happened on week 17. That was the same year that Drew Brees was going for the record. But the Saints were already in the playoffs. And I had to go, okay, what are the Saints going to do? I went to a Browns game that day, too, so I was like, okay, before I left, am I going to play Drew Brees, or am I going to play a backup quarterback? I didn't play Drew Brees. And he scored a lot of fucking points. Ended up winning. Kind of. But that's a different story. Going back to where we're at. In third place, a tie with 7-5, Jeff Fisher guys, and Fear Boners. And your top two teams, number two, Dan with Pin Me Pay Me at 9-3, and number one on a one-game losing streak, Plan B.
Yep.
Who beat him? Who beat him?
Jack.
That's in the tweets. My bad.
Yeah, you know who else? You know who his other loss is this season?
You.
Week four score 123.56 to 122.18. And we play again this week, and I'm crushing him in points. I have like 150 more points than he does. Lead the league in points, might I add. And with that being said, if I could beat him this week, I supersede him and take first place, which would bring me great pleasure to beat the Plan B plus players. That would be fantastic.
Shane, I still think you should have named your team the F plus players.
I was a D plus player, sir.
Yeah, but they were so bad that you should have named the F plus players.
Listen, I had to be called Ops Cum Receptacle for a week. That's bad enough. I don't want to talk about it.
But that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, sure the fuck was.
Yeah, your frustration on that podcast was quite hilarious.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It also made you...
He put together a good team this year, though. Plan B. Brian B. Until last week, I think he won like 8 games in a row. Like every time I won, I was like, come on. And every week he found a way to win. So he's got a good squad.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he really does.
Let's see. Now let's get into our game.
Who won last year?
I did.
The guy with the name Your Champ.
And I finished second.
Wait.
He said that he made his team name because he was our champ.
The same guy that won fantasy won picks last year, too.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're not doing too hot in either of them.
Actually, I'm in fourth, and I'm only 5 out of first place. Considering where I was, yeah, I'm doing pretty good now.
Sure.
I had a week two
whatever,
of five
you
picks
tell
right.
Moral
I had a week
moral,
two.
Moral victories, if that's what you want to count.
Week two, I had 5 picks right.
Sure. Yeah.
And I've been able to recover from that.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you tell yourself.
I'm ahead of you. That's all that matters.
I'm not bragging that I was in first place.
Don't make the grumpy old man grumpy.
I know. You change your depend yet?
No, but I'm looking for some idol.
I bet.
Hey, I could have said I'm looking for cucumbers. Oh, wait, no, we know where they're at.
Come on, Shane, tell us where they're at.
I don't know, because I don't eat cucumbers. Moving on.
Yeah, we know you don't eat them.
Oh, I'm going to smack the shit out of Ant when he moves to America. I swear to God.
I am going to buy him multiple drinks when he gets here.
Fuck. All right, so let's get into our picks for this week. And like always, we start with our teams. And we're going to start with the Thursday game, Thanksgiving Day game, the 5-6 Chicago Bears at the 7-4 Detroit Lions. Who did I actually pick on this? I hate doing it. I have to pick the Detroit Lions. I can't pick the Bears right now. Granted, there's the curse, and I think Cutler plays okay in Detroit, depending, but I just have to go with Detroit. It's just not good. Can't do it.
I'm going Detroit.
I am going to go with Chicago. I think Detroit is collapsing like they always do. And I've also heard Calvin may be hurt again. And
oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Detroit's on their collapse schedule. And Forte, I mean, dude is a fucking monster. Dude, he's fucking amazing.
He really is.
See, when I hear Forte's name, I hear, "Hey, Forte!" Went to Browns-Bears game preseason. I wore a Browns hat and a Bears jersey, and the Bears jersey I wore was Forte. There was a drunk guy in the my section.
Wait, there was a drunk guy at an NFL game?
No. There's a drunk guy in Cleveland?
There was this particular drunk guy who decided...
6 years ago, I was a drunk guy in Cleveland. So
you were one of the natives. You know what they say, you know.
Watching LeBron's last year, well, previous last year. In
Something else you don't talk about.
You know the old saying is, you know, when in Rome. I mean,
but there was
you burn something while you were there?
There was a particular.
No, but I found an impressive bar with over 200 different beers on tap, so. If I ever go back, I'm definitely going to that restaurant again.
The Winking Lizard?
Yes, the Winking Lizard.
There's one of those in Columbus.
Yeah, it's a chain. And then if you drink 100 of their beers, you drink all of their beers within a calendar year, you like win something free.
I was just getting ready to ask, is there a punch card for this, or do you have to do all 100 in one night?
No, there's a punch card. But thing is, they range in price too. You can get a cheap beer, but then you can get like a $20 beer.
Because the 100 in one night would be really, really fucking impressive.
I thought you were going to say really, really easy. No, it's within if you get them within a calendar year.
See, because I'm almost, in two calendar years, I've tried almost 500 different beers. So.
Good Lord, son.
Well, I
what
do that like...
liver hold up?
Are you talking about like samplers, just shots? Or full beers?
I'll knock about 150 off for beer festivals.
Oh, yeah.
But I drink a lot.
have you had any from the Great Lakes Brewery?
Great Lakes in Ontario or
Cleveland?
Oh no, I tried the Great Lakes in Ontario, which my sister lives there, which is awesome. And what's the name of the company? I tried a Baltimore-based company recently, which was pretty good.
The Great Lakes Brewing Company, they have a particular, like, famous beer. Well, within our area of, it's a normal Christmas ale. But the people that I know that get it, they get it a lot, and they get drunk really quick.
Depending how strong it is. I mean, like, the stuff that ships up from the States to here, it's watered down, but... Like, I've had some really good American beer, so I can't be that Canadian who's all like, oh, yeah, American piss water. No, there's some good, really good American beers out there.
Yeah, but most of what the domestic stuff in America is piss water.
Yeah. Well, there's the classic joke, what's the difference between, what's this in common with sex in a canoe and drinking American beer? What? You're fucking close to water.
Well... This podcast isn't all beer aside.
Aw, damn it.
Which, much like all wine aside, you can catch that on the Trending Topics Network. Anyway.
we should do that podcast.
All beer aside.
All beer inside was what we'll call it. Inside.
That's pretty good.
Wait a minute, didn't we pitch a show last night about, like, guys drinking?
Yeah, we wanted to do the dude version of all wine inside.
Boom, right there, all beer inside.
Just let me know if you, yeah, I may try to jump on for that one.
All right, anyway, moving on, we have the, since it's my show, we're going to talk about it, the 7-4, wow, 7-4. Kind of nice. 7-4 Cleveland Browns at the 6-5 Buffalo Bills. I'm going to go with the underdog on this one. Yes, I'm a homer, but fuck it. Cleveland Browns. I want Josh Gordon to light it up.
I'm just wondering if they're still going to be able to play in Buffalo.
Wait a minute. I just realized we didn't get everybody else's picks for the Detroit, Chicago. We went off on a tangent there, Dan Miguel.
I don't think we did for the Bengals, or did we do the Bengals yet? We just did Chicago.
No, we've done Detroit, Chicago.
That's right. We're one game in. Keep drinking.
okay, so I guess I'm going to take the home team. Detroit put up 40 points against the Packers last year. I think they're going to, coming off a bad loss, I think they're going to squeak out a win no matter what.
Dan, Miguel? Yes.
Stafford hasn't had one single 3-touchdown game this season. The passing game has just looked god-awful, due large in part to Kelvin Johnson. But here's the great thing about if your passing offense sucks and you're playing the Bears, everything should be A-OK. They're probably going to light us up. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears squeaked one out somehow because the mop's right. It's time for them to fold like a house of cards. That's what Detroit does this time of year. The Bears are going to pick their bones.
Miguel? Spider-Man?
There's no way Chicago can beat anyone with a moderately good defense. They can't stay on the field, man. All they got to do is stop the run, and Cutler's going to throw some picks. Easy as that.
That reminds me. Hold on. Put me back on mute. There was a particular headline after Sunday's game that I happened to read, and it came from Tampa Bay's newspaper. And it was, I think, a picture of Josh McCown during the Bears game, and it said, "Please take him back." I remember a particular Broncos fan beginning the season saying, yeah, the Bears really miss Josh McCown, and yeah. We really miss Josh McCown. What has he done this year besides sit?
Throw interceptions.
Well, Cutler's done that too. Anyway, Mop, you were saying.
Well, check this out real quick. The Detroit Lions are in rare error in the fact that they lead the NFC and the NFL in points against. But they also, in the NFC, have the least points for. So they've scored the least and held their opponents to the least, something you rarely see in football. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, in the,
they're also,
in the bad seven, part for Detroit, the bad part for Detroit
right
is they're, yeah, there's no way. The bad thing for Detroit is they're starting to pick up injuries. Didn't Mebane just go down for the season, like, last week? And it just... I don't think that defense is going to end as good as it started.
No doubt. It's time to play in cold weather. Like I said, it's going to get ugly. You find out, you separate the boys from the men this time of year. That's what I love about the NFL and the seasons changing, is the game really does change this time of year, and it's about to get interesting.
All right, going back to the 7-4, Cleveland Browns at the 6-5, Buffalo Bills. Like I said,
Bills.
Yeah, you almost never pick Cleveland. Whoa. We talked about that 1 week.
As the Buffalo kind of close native, coming back from the snowstorm and they had to play in Detroit, the crowd's going to be amped up. The team's going to be amped up. I got to go Buffalo.
Yeah.
It didn't look like practice mattered much to them.
No.
Like I'm saying, I'm picking the underdog, so I'm taking it that.
No, I got to stick with Cleveland. I think Cleveland, of the teams that can go into Buffalo and play, Cleveland's one that can do it.
I got the Bills because their hockey team won't be winning this weekend, so one of their home teams has to win.
And I don't want to talk about that
the
either.
Sabres?
The Sabres?
I hate being a Sabres fan.
So basically, Canadians home and home. They're done.
Does Dominik Hasek still goaltend for them?
Really? Okay. So, Miguel, what's your pick?
I'm going to pick Cleveland. Buffalo's a little too injured right now, and Josh Gordon's too good to not do a lot of stuff with the absurd amount of targets he's getting.
Yeah. That is the one thing. He was supposed to be kept to, like,
20 to 30.
Yeah, yes. And I want to say he might have close to 30 and one half.
Yeah, he had, I think I heard 50-some for the game.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, since you watched the game.
Yes.
On two or three of those picks from Hoyer, mm-hmm. was it just me or did it look like Josh Gordon gave up?
I saw it.
I think he was burnt out. I mean, first game back, he got targeted a lot. He got tired quick.
If you look at the entirety of his career, he has a history of doing that. Josh Gordon, I know because he's always on my fantasy squad, so I watch him. I love him. He's awesome. But when he gives up on a play faster than any receiver in the NFL. But the flip side is he can make a play like nobody else. It's just that comes with the territory.
And why is Hoyer throwing the ball that damn much?
Yeah.
Is Jordan Cameron coming back this week?
I haven't heard if he is, but I do know that he was cleared last week, but he just wasn't playing. So I would guess it's could strongly indicate that he's coming back, which granted, that's a big key. I mean, granted, I think Gordon is the biggest key, but you bring back Cameron at the same time. I saw some good plays from Hawkins in the game. I seen some good plays from Miles Austin. That's what the core you need now. Just need to run a little bit more, which our running game looks kind of decent, and we didn't need no freaking Ben Tate.
And Crowell stepped up big time. And mm-hmm. last season, when I saw Hoyer, Cameron, and Jordan all on the field at the same, or Gordon all on the field at the same time, they were potent. I mean, it was lights out. I had, I think, all three on my fantasy squad at one point. I was happy to do it until Hoyer blew both his knees out that night. Oh, God, that was awful. Ankles, whatever it was. But before then, they were firecrackers, man. So Cleveland could get even better, which is kind of crazy.
You want to say they get better, but I actually thought as a team they looked worse with Gordon playing because Hoyer is forcing the ball to Gordon. That's not what Cleveland does good. It's not the passing game that does good. It's the running game that's got them to the 7-4 record. So stick with what you know.
Yeah, stick with what's winning the games. I mean, I did watch that game, the Cleveland and Atlanta game, and it was I don't even know what kind of game it was, but all you saw him doing was throwing the ball, and it was always to Josh Gordon. It was like, you need to limit that and get to the run, because when they handed the ball off, it was awesome.
It's like this. You go back to your temporary home in Florida, get your Porsche out of the garage. All you want to do is put the pedal to the metal, man. That's what he got his toy back. That's what Flash Gordon is, man. Imagine having him out there. He just wanted to utilize him for the first time. He just got happy. It was the first week. Once they gel, it's going to be all good.
Well, he may have gotten, you know, want to get that Porsche out, but that also cost him 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
The thing that I like, though, is on the other end, we actually seen the defense play as probably good as they have all season, minus a couple games, but making plays when they need to. Granted, the offense didn't capitalize on them. This game could have been blown far much more out of the water with the interception and the the fumble.
I want to give their defense credit, but it's Atlanta. And Atlanta has been shit all year.
I just like to see a team like Cleveland that's always had bad years actually turn around, and they're doing pretty good for Cleveland standards this year, so I'm impressed with them.
Oh, I'd love nothing more than to see Cleveland lose out on the playoffs by one game.
God damn.
I would much rather see the Cincinnati Bengals make it into the playoffs and lose the first game. Oh, wait a minute. That's tradition now.
That's going to happen. It's fucking Andy Dalton. Come on.
Who would you rather have, Andy Dalton or Brian Hoyer?
Hoyer.
I did notice they did I watched the end of the Bengals game, and they did an interview with Dalton, and he was like stuttering. You don't even like the camera on him.
Because he's a... No, I won't go there.
Hey, there's another Thursday football game.
There's two of them.
Yeah, we'll get to these games. Calm down. We go over them all. I don't know if this is your first week on the show or
it is.
First week listening to the show. Granted, you were around roughly when the show first started. We'll get to these games. Okay.
The only thing he remembers from week to week is where the cucumber's at.
Come on, goddamn.
We have the 9-2 New England Patriots at the 8-3 Green Bay Packers. With Packers being a 3-point favorite, I don't care. I like Tom Brady in this matchup, but I do think this is going to be a great game, and it shouldn't be a 4 o'clock game. This should be a primetime game.
I agree. I think this is a early Super Bowl, and I'm going with New England.
Taking my Packers.
So all I got to say is the three games that are being played tomorrow are just, all three are just awesome. This is what is so great about Thanksgiving. Three freaking awesome football games, a lot of goddamn food, and just happy, happy, happy.
We the people.
Absolutely. Oh, and I'll take the Packers, too, because it's at home.
Miguel?
Got to go with the home team. Defense is playing pretty good. And, I just think the mix of offense with Green Bay and the defense at home, I'll take that combination.
I dislike Brady so much. I would really like to see Clay Matthews just clearly rip off his head and then start drinking the blood out of the neck.
God,
I think I owe you a beer at this point, don't I?
I hate the Packers so much. I would love to see Aaron Rodgers tear up this defense to where Clay Matthews and whatever the fuck's his name, that they both want to shave their head. AJ Hawk.
You talking about AJ Hawk, the guy from,
they both
from Dayton, Ohio?
They both want to just shave their head bald. Dan?
It's going to be blunt force trauma, as in LeGarrette blunt force trauma. They're going to run up and down on Green Bay, slow down the game. And that's the great thing about being the Patriots, is you have 100 different gears that you could hit whenever you want to, and they can slow Rodgers down, keep him off the field, control the clock, and shock the world in Green Bay on Thanksgiving. I got the Pats.
Are you sure they're not going to call somebody off the practice squad to start for him this week as a running back? I mean, they've had, what, 4 different running backs this year? All of them perform well, and none of them started the next week?
How many wins have they got out of it?
Yep.
Well, evidently 9.
In New England's never been a run-heavy team. I mean, they've always been a passing team, and their running backs have always been a kind of a back burner. They've never had, like, that dominant running back.
As the quote goes, you play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. Doesn't matter where these running backs come from. Do they play? Do they win the game? Guess what? I don't care how much you hate the coach. I don't care how much you hate the team. I don't care how much you hate the quarterback. They did what they needed to do.
Yeah, your description of their season is like really the description of the whole Belichick-Brady regime. I mean, that's just what they've been doing since they've been doing this. It's why they are who they are. It's pretty awesome. I love the Patriots, man. By the way, because I'm going to have to get off here soon, I'm taking the Patriots in Seattle in the Super Bowl. Patriots win in Arizona. You guys got Arizona going, and I just can't see Drew Stanton taking a team to the Super Bowl, but that's just me.
Crazier things have happened.
Indeed.
You jumping off now, or?
No, I got a little bit left in me here.
Okay. At least try to get out our teams. Let me see. We got the 2-9 Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the 7-3 Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not even going to waste my time. That's the Cincinnati Bengals all day or day.
Yep. Yep.
Mike Evans has been awesome though for Tampa. I love this kid.
Yeah, he's going to be something. He's going to be a. Well, just look at the rookie receivers this year. Jesus Christ!
I'm telling you, Mop, it's the most. It's going to go down as the greatest wide receiving class in NFL history. It's so deep. It's ridiculous when you look it up and down.
Scary.
It really is.
Miguel, I think it's the only one that we haven't heard from.
Yeah, I'll agree.
There we go, bungholes. And while we got you, Miguel, the 7-4 Kansas City Chiefs hosting the 8-3 Denver Broncos. Only a 1-point favorite Denver Broncos, but I won't have to go with the favorites, even though I do have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I'd like Broncos on this one. Miguel?
I'll take the Chiefs.
What?
Yeah, I agree with it.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
Give me the Chiefs and the points, man. I think that's going to be one pissed-off team, and Denver's not playing very well, and it's in Kansas City.
I agree. Give me the Chiefs.
I got Denver right now, but it's going to come down to, like, the injury Sunday night on who I finally pick. I know at least one Manning's definitely going to win this weekend, so.
The better Manning.
Daniel Manning?
No, the better Manning that has two Super Bowl rings.
Peyton Manning?
Has one.
No, he has a losing record in the Super Bowl.
No, he stole one from his brother.
Yeah, good for him.
Shut up, cucumber. I think, did we get Dan's?
I'll take Denver.
Denver. All right, that would give us to... Okay, Shane. Okay, we ready? You ready? Are you ready? Who's a good boy? Who's a good cucumber? We have cucumber fucker. The 8-3 Philadelphia Eagles at the 8-3 Dallas Cowboys. We wish we had Joe here, but I'm gonna pick the Dallas Cowboys.
Fuck Dallas. I'm picking Philly.
Yeah, give me Philly, even if it is in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going for Philly. I mean, Romo's got to start tanking at some point. So.
I think this is the best. What is it that he has? He has the bad record. Is it November or December?
It's November. He falls apart normally.
I was gonna say, is it any game that actually matters?
No. He had he used to have a terrible record in November.
And yeah, it's November.
What's his record right now in November? I'd have to double check.
I'd have to.
Well, I would say he has a bad playoff record, but, I mean, they don't really make the playoffs, so.
He has a better record than the Browns. Anyway.
Yep. No, actually, I think he has just as many wins in the playoffs as the Browns do.
Did he win one? 2002?
No, I don't think they've won a playoff game in forever.
No, they won one.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought because the whole thing...
Did they finally break that?
Yeah. I like the Cowboys. I do. I think they're playing good, and they're different this year. The Cowboys from years past would have lost to the Giants last week. They found a way to pull it through. It's just their year. They've finally pulled it all together. I'm choosing to believe in them, but I like Philly, too. I'm a huge Philly fan. So this is just, like you said, Mop, there's just a stacked lineup tomorrow. Really good games, and this is going to be a great one on Thanksgiving. Smack dab in the middle. 8-3 against 8-3, it's on Thanksgiving. It's perfect.
Can we get Miguel's?
I think Romo will show up. because he's only going to throw the ball 15 times. But four of those 15 throws will come for touchdowns because all they're going to do is run the ball. Rob Ryan, though, all he needs to do is just blitz Sanchez, my boy. Unfortunately, he doesn't do very good when he's blitzed. So he'll throw a few picks. It'll be a close game, but DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, Tony Romo, I'll get the win.
All I need to see is those points pouring from DeMarco Murray, my boy.
All I know is Dallas's defense, they just can't keep playing this good. They're not as good as they're playing. And it's going to fall apart, and I'm going to laugh so hard.
I will say this about Dallas, even though I can't stand them. This is probably one of the best Cowboys teams we've seen in a long time. So I will give them that. I don't know how they're going to handle the Eagles. Not saying because their Eagles are my team, but it's going to be a great game. I cannot wait to watch it. I hope this storm keeps up so I don't have to go to my mother's for Thanksgiving, and that's a bad thing to say, but I don't care.
Wow.
I'll make sure to watch football.
I'll make sure to play this for her when I'm over there.
Don't underestimate home field advantage, especially on a short week, Thanksgiving. Dallas does this every year. Their whole family's there. It's comfortable. They're used to it. It's a hard travel on Thanksgiving if you're Philly guys. It's every day. They do this every year in Dallas. They're used to it now. So it's a big home field advantage this week.
And last but not least of our teams, we have the 2-9 Tennessee Titans at the 5-6 Houston Texans.
Give me the other. It doesn't matter what the other is. I'll take the other.
Yeah, a cucumber?
God damn it.
I don't think they could beat Shane's cucumber.
I'm going to go through the Houston Texans. It's just Titans are definitely a top five draft pick.
Yep. The only thing I care about is keep Foster on ice. I need him strong for the playoffs. If he's got to take a week off, so be it. I mean, take another week off, Foster. Hear me now. Come on, do it. Don't play. You won't hear people say that too often.
Carp.
Texans. Pretty simple pick here. I mean, I don't see how 7% so far are picking Tennessee.
Either it's people who are going ballsy, or it's people who are Titans fans.
Or Houston Oilers fans.
It's those guys that were, you see, look, I picked the fucking Texans, or the Titans to beat them, blah, blah. Idiots.
The 2-9 Houston Oilers at the 5-6 Houston Texans.
I caught none of that.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, it cut out on me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, since I know you're not going to go back and re-listen to this because it sounds like too much work, and I'll speak slowly for you because I know you have problems with this because your hearing aid and you get grumpy and you didn't take your nap today. The 2-9, that's two wins and 9 losses. Houston Oilers at the 5-6, that's 5 wins, 6 losses, at the Houston Texans.
And I said other.
but I said Houston Oilers at Houston Texans.
It's the Civil War for Houston fans.
Not really. I mean, I was an Oilers fan. I still have an Oilers hat, but they're the Titans now. I understand that.
Are you like Bret Hart living in the past?
How am I living in the past?
Bitter old man?
We don't. Got to get him pissed off.
I'm getting him pissed off like he's got a cucumber up his butthole, but we all know where that's at.
Anyways, well, don't piss him off. I'm hoping to play Call of Duty with him later.
Hey, it's not like I grabbed my computer and threw it across the room or something.
Moving on.
Who could that be?
Okay, I got mad. So what? Moving on.
All right, how much time you got, Dan?
4 minutes.
Because, yeah, we got like two more segments. You want to jump off now or what?
4 minutes.
Okay. Let's get on to the hashtag huddle segment, which is our social media segment. We have hashtag NFL easy picks tweets. We'll start with... I'm sorry, Shane. I had to start with it. Ant the Vigilante, hashtag where's Shane's cucumber this week with a man... with a man playing balls in the park. Hashtag NFL easy picks.
I hate him.
No, you don't. You love him.
I'm really starting to dislike that.
he's a valued listener to the show.
Yeah, well, that don't mean I have to like him.
I think there's somebody else I'm going to have to buy a beer for if they ever come over here.
this is a conversation, but I kind of want to talk about it. It was... Double A Andy Anderson tweeting at the Vigilante. They both use hashtag NFL easy picks, but he said, do you want the Giants versus Cowboys to win to beat a rival or lose for a better draft pick? So basically saying, does he want the Giants this week, this past week, to beat the Cowboys so they get a better draft pick, or do you want to win? Ant said, it's the Dallas fucking Cowboys. I will take the win every day of the week against those Muppets. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. You getting a better draft pick this week.
Me personally, I would much rather have the draft pick. I could give a shit if you beat me once. But if it means I get to come out of it on the other side in a better spot, I'll take that.
All right, we have a new tweeter, a new listener, too. Mr. DRG says that Beckham Jr. catch was amazing. It's been catch of the year and has been replayed, 7,436,879,873 times. Hashtag overkill, hashtag NFL easy picks.
Fucking great catch, though.
It was a great catch. We will get that into the email segments because we have two emails, and they both want to talk about the same. Fuck, how do we get two emailers first? I'm great. We've only had one Ant. We always appreciate it. Andy decides to send an email. Andy decides to send in an email. Same fucking thing. Same topic.
Maryland.
And it's Beckham Jr.
Because he's fucking amazing.
Yes, he was a great soccer player. I've been brainwashed.
Okay, another one from Mr. DRG. That T.Y. Hilton celebration was awesome. Congrats to the newborn, hashtag NFL easy picks. I didn't see this, but I heard about it, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he ran it, tied his career long, then he cuddled it like a newborn baby and was like, you know, stroking his hair. And I mean, it was just awesome to see because, you know, his wife giving birth at 5 a.m. Then he playing a game. That was awesome.
And his complete emotional breakdown afterwards when they were interviewing.
Oh yeah, he couldn't even talk, and the guys were like, "You can cry, it's okay." And then he's like, "Okay." He just lost it. I was like, oh, "Yeah." I was like, "I felt bad for him, but I was happy for him too."
Deion Sanders was bagging on him on NFL Network. It was pretty hysterical. He's like, "I just couldn't be caught dead with that voice on television. I couldn't do it."
Squeaky.
But, yeah, it was a storybook. It was really awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
What? I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't stand Dion sometimes.
You can't stand Dion. Even
you had a bit of a heartfelt moment.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Mr. DRG, another tweet. He has a bunch back in the back. Mallett has talent. This game didn't show it, but it's there. He could easily be the next Carr, former Texan, but I'm hopeful. Hashtag NFL easy picks. Is it Mallett out for the season now?
He tore his pectoral muscle, I believe.
I seen this tweet and then read the news shortly after, and I went, oh, well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
And I hate to say it, but it kind of really screws the Texans because now they can't evaluate Mallett other than the two games he played. To know if they want to re-sign him or not.
Yeah.
All right, last one from DRG, hashtag NFL Easy Picks. Rank who would be the most successful starting running back in the future. Kenneal Davis, A. Blue, Jeremy Hill, B. Oliver, or L. Murray? I'm not sure.
Oh, good Lord, I would have to look at that to see it.
That's like
the only name I recognize is Niall Davis.
Alfred Blue, which is the backup for Adrian Foster.
Latavius Murray is the new breakout from.
Oh my God, he looks so damn good. And I did he say Kadeem Carey, the backup for Chicago?
No,
for 14.
No, it was Jeremy Hill, B. Oliver, the other ones.
Brandon Oliver is the backup for San Diego.
Yeah, Brandon Oliver is the bottom of that list. He's just too small and too inconsistent. And we haven't seen
Giovanni Bernard's backup in Cincinnati.
Right, we haven't seen enough of Latavius Murray to know what he's going to be. I mean, we've seen four carries this year. Granted, it was for 100 and some yards and two touchdowns, but it's only four carries. Alfred Blue looks like a stud. Hill looks like a stud too, but I think I would rather have Alfred Blue on the Texans than Jeremy Hill on the Bengals. So I guess it's Blue, Hill, Murray, Oliver.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I think Murray, if he could stay healthy, is the definite future back of that Oakland backfield, though, and there won't be much competition. So,
no. I'll tell you what, for as bad as they are, there's a lot of promise on that Oakland team.
Oh, no doubt, man.
Carr showing some signs of being pretty good. They've got Andre Holmes, I believe, is a first or second year player at a receiver. That Rivera, the tight end, and Murray in the running back, there's some promise there.
Agreed.
All right, next one from @ToonsBrian. Hashtag NFL Easy Picks, just so you know, @ToonsJack, handed me my ass this week in fantasy football because I bragged last week, no doubt. Yeah, it was kind of ironic when it came down to it.
A little bit. Teaching them not run your mouth.
That's right, I bragged this week, so that means he should beat me. So
if that happens, that'll be kind of hilarious.
Well, no, there's the rubber match in the Super Bowl. That's one for all the more. That's the one that matters. This is just like the preliminary.
What's going to be the funniest is when one of the two of you or neither of you are in the playoff or is in the championship.
Well, they're the top two spots. I'm pretty much sure they will make the playoffs.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, they make. I think it's already determined that they're in.
Yeah, they have the little star by them too.
Yeah.
Be a star.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, sir.
Because you're not a star. Hashtag NFL Easy Picks from Vigilante. So this year we might see a 5-11 team make the playoffs and a 12-4 team miss out.
Yep.
It's kind of what we were talking about earlier.
I think ESPN did the breakdown on those four teams of the what they had left in record-wise, and a 5-11 could win the South. That, I'm sorry, you don't deserve a playoff spot at 5-11. You don't deserve a home game. You don't deserve to be in the league next year.
This is where, like, my 18 league CFL, but there's this crossover rule where if your team is so bad, you don't get in the playoffs. The only team that makes it in on the one side would be the number one team who ends up with a winning record. Like this year, the Alouettes of Montreal had to face a West Coast team because the team below them were so bad that the West moved over, which is something maybe the NFL should consider at some point, is a kind of crossover, so that if your team is that crap, they don't deserve a playoff spot.
Yeah, I heard a similar proposal by Tony on Pardon the Interruption. He was saying if you're under 500, you can't make the playoffs. You have to be at least 8-8. And I don't disagree with that. At least for now, though, it needs to be you don't get a home game. Like, it cannot be rewarded with the home game. If you win your division, fine, but you can't get the home game.
Yeah, I think it was. I think I heard Peter King suggest that, where, you know, it, you go by who has the better record in the wild card rounds, but it'll never happen. So.
And with that, I bid you gentlemen farewell and happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me on. Good times.
All right.
You want to throw out a plug before you go?
You guys know where it's at.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Shoot me a plug at the end of the show, at the end of the cannon. Good times.
Yep. All right. Nice.
Adios, gentlemen.
Later, dude. Bye.
That was, okay, we technically there is one more, and it's just Anthony Vigilante saying, the battle to end all battles, who makes the playoffs, #NFL, #NFL Easy Picks, and it's a screen cap of him versus those one guys in the WIR league, and they're both, whoever wins this particular matchup gets into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm in last place in that league.
Well, I hope you fucking lose.
That is such a mean thing to say.
I thought the real battle was the cucumber against Shane's asshole.
No, you motherfucker.
Actually, I think the real battle is from his intestine, like trying to like swallow it up the opposite direction.
Oh, see, I was thinking maybe it was lube versus no lube.
Okay, anyway, Carp, like when you hear this stuff, do you think it's funny? You think you're laughing, so yes. God damn it.
Sorry, man.
Well, I can make somebody laugh, that's fine. My ass is expense.
I mean, it's for amusing. It is for amusement. And I'm sure the other listeners do quite enjoy the ridicule you suffer. So.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to go back to the half-hour episodes?
No. They were lame.
Exactly.
Hey, maybe I can sit here and play Xbox while we're... Never mind.
You haven't done that yet?
No, actually I haven't. Because most of the time I'm recording, I'm at work and can't play Xbox.
That's true. All right. Oh, emails. I almost forgot about the emails because we have two. We have two emails.
You want to just read them back to back and then let's discuss them since they're the same topic?
Yes, we're going to go. We'll start with, I would say, the guy that we always start with. Because well, he's the only one
we got.
Yeah. Obviously, Ant. Hey, you crazy American wankas. This week, there is only one thing I want to or will talk about, and yep, it's my main man, Beckham, and his ridiculous, incredible, amazing catch. This kid is the only star on the Giants team, and Odell is 100% my man crush. On to the question. Do you think this is the greatest catch in NFL history, or, if not, what are contenders are there? Bye. P.S. Free the cucumber from Shane's ass. From the Save the Cucumber Foundation, sent from the Beckham bandwagon.
It was a good catch.
Wrong show.
P.S. Here's the second email.
Yeah, here's the second email. Debuting on the show, we have Andy Anderson making an email.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, welcome. Don't let Shane distract you. Or discourage you. The Odell Beckham Jr. caught a heck of a catch, but many are calling it the greatest catch ever. No, not for me. The frickin' Giants didn't even win the game. If you ask me, the greatest catch I seen was the helmet catch. David Tree,
Tyree
made over Rodney Harrison in Super Bowl 47. 47? 42. 42.
I fucking remember.
Roman numerals, 42. Had to double check that. After the play, the Giants call a timeout. Four plays later, Plaxico Burress scored the touchdown that won the game for the Giants, 14-17. It was the Patriots' only loss of the season, preventing them from finishing with a perfect 19-0 record. What is the greatest catch you guys have seen? That is the end, and like I said, two emailers, and they talk about the same fucking thing.
it seems to be three of the best catches I've ever seen has come from Eli to one of his wide receivers. There was the two Super Bowl catches, and then there's this one. I mean, just when it comes down to giving your player something he miraculously has to do, Eli can throw that ball, and his wide receivers can catch it.
No, there's something you don't hear on the show. Eli can throw a ball.
Yeah.
He is the better Manning. Shut up.
Well, just look how he escaped that that sack in that Super Bowl and then threw it to Tyree. I mean, you know, the announcers are like, oh, Eli's done. And then he escapes that and then chucks that ball, and Tyree's like, well, the only thing I could catch this with is my face. And he basically did it.
Yeah, I think that's what the only – I mean, as an athletic catch, it was probably the most athletic catch I've ever seen. But in terms of, like, the best catch ever has to be something that meant a lot more than a random touchdown in a game you lose.
Right. I would probably say the Tyree catch is probably the greatest catch in NFL.
Well, I don't know. How many catches have you seen as a Cleveland fan in the playoffs, in the championship game?
Hey, fuck you.
Against Denver.
Oh.
Or then there's the Immaculate Conception from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. But I think one thing that I have to mention is there are a lot of catches very similar to that throughout the NFL history, and as this catch has happened, I've seen pictures of many similar catches. Granted, Beckham seems to be the best at doing it more than once, but the catch has happened from other receivers multiple times. And I think Randy Moss has had some really great catches, too.
Well, like we was talking about before the show, I was watching NFL Network, and they put up that catch, the video of that catch, against video of him in practice making almost the identical catch over and over and over again in practice. This is something he can just do, and it's kind of scary.
He will be, if everything goes right, he stays healthy, he has potential to be one of the greatest wide receivers in the NFL. I mean, of all time. I mean, he's just got that athletic talent.
Well, like me and Dan was talking about earlier, you look at this receiving class of rookies. You've got Beckham. Yeah. You've got Evans. You've got Watkins. I mean, come on. That's
Watkins,
ridiculous.
Some of the catches he makes is unreal. This class is, they're going to be something.
Absolutely. There's a real good chance that we'll look back and this is one of the best ever.
This could be the new generation of Jerry Rice, T.O., and Randy Moss.
No more on the catch from the. Do we answer both of them? Who do you? Yes. Yeah, the same question. Who do you thought was the greatest catch? I think to me, Randy Moss catch comes to mind. I remember there was. It was a one-handed grab. He just, like, signaled to Brady, like, hey, I'm open with one hand, and then caught it with the same hand. And I don't remember much else about it. All right, so that'll end it for the hashtag huddle. Thank you to all our tweeters and our two emailers. Maybe DRG will write us an email next week, or maybe Carp will get bored and send us an email when he's not on the show. And we still have Miguel here, too, who hasn't really said much.
Sorry, just speaking when spoken to.
do you have a greatest catch ever?
It's Tyree, no doubt. It was a nice catch, but anyone can do it. Any professional wide receiver can catch with one hand. They have big hands. Sticky gloves. Tyree was just ridiculous.
Am I the only one that gets, whenever I think of like players doing crazy catches like this, I think of Little Giants?
Yes, when it gets stuck in his helmet.
No. The one kid that puts the sticky stuff on his hands.
Oh. I would go home and download that, but I don't have a laptop right now.
Oh, why? What happened to it?
It fell.
Fell down the stairs?
Yep.
Tripped into a doorknob?
It tripped into the doorknob, remember.
Yes. It got lippy and it wound up in an elevator with me.
Hey, what do you say to the woman with two black eyes?
Nothing. Told her enough already.
Nothing. You done told her twice.
all right, enough about Ray Rice. Let's get into the rest of these games. And let's start with the 7-4 Seattle Seahawks at the 7-4 San Francisco 49ers. 49ers a 1-point favorite of only 47% in the picks. I'm picking the Seattle Seahawks on this one.
Give me the home team, San Francisco, baby. They're turning it around, and this is going to determine the final wild card seed right here.
Yeah, I'm taking San Francisco.
Miguel?
This one's tough, but got to flip a coin. I'd have to say San Fran because the defense is coming back, and they're the home team.
All right, this will be fun. The 3-8 Washington Caucasians, Redskins at the 7-4 Indianapolis Colts.
Really?
Only 2% are picking the Redskins, and I'm picking the Colts.
I'm going Indy.
Yeah, give me the Colts. Do we want to talk about the quarterback change?
Oh, that is true, that it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts versus Colt McCoy.
They benched RG3. And not even it wasn't even pretty. I believe the Gruden said something along the lines of he needs to work on his craft.
Yeah, that's not good.
He needs to work on growing a new ACL.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same since that injury, but a lot of players come back and they're not the same. But he needs to do something because he could be out of a job here soon.
Yeah, I know when Palmer first came back after Pittsburgh took the cheap shot, it was 2 or 3 years before he really stood in the pocket again. I mean, he was very skittish.
Huh? The Steelers took a cheap shot on somebody? I don't believe
it. Oh, yeah, they rolled up his leg during a playoff game. And
I saw it.
Ridiculous. Fucking Pittsburgh.
That sounds nothing like the Pittsburgh Steelers, ever.
No, never.
Our love of the Steelers.
Miguel, who do you got for this one?
LOL. I didn't know that they benched Griffin for McCoy. That's jacked up. But I mean, this coaching staff, they didn't draft Griffin, so he doesn't fit the scheme. It's not their guy, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but I'm really surprised they benched him because Daniel Snyder is, well, he's a Jerry Jones, but not as good. And I'm really surprised they let him bench him.
Who do you got in this game, Miguel?
Well, do I really have to answer? Indianapolis.
Yeah, not surprised for anybody, but this game should be interesting. See how the picks wind up. The 1-10 Oakland Raiders at the 4-7 St. Louis Rams. Yeah, St. Louis Rams are the favorite, and that's who I'm picking.
Give me St. Louis. St. Louis is a really good team. They play a really tough schedule, and they've beaten a lot of good teams.
They've beaten every Super Bowl contender last year.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams.
Watch Oakland fucking blow them out of the water this week.
Nah, plus Oakland's got their win. Their season's over.
I completely agree with that.
All right, that's the... Oh, damn it, Mop, you didn't correct me. The 3-7-1 Carolina Panthers at the 4-7-4-7 Minnesota Vikings, but you didn't correct me on the Bengals.
I know it's worse too because we actually talked about that being one of the one of the determining factors for the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I'm picking the Vikings.
Yep, Minnesota.
Yeah, give me Minnesota.
Right.
Wait,
now
who's playing that again?
Panthers, but that's probably going to change.
The Carolina Panthers at the Minnesota Vikings.
God, Minnesota has no offense, so I got to take Carolina.
And what was your pick, Cart?
Right now I got the Panthers, but that might change depending on injuries Sunday morning.
Right. Kind of not looking forward to this one. The 4-7 New Orleans Saints at the 7-4 Pittsburgh Steelers. A part of me is rooting for the Steelers to win, but that's my pick.
Yes, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, actually, a whole lot of me is rooting for Pittsburgh, considering one of my fantasy leagues that for me to stay in the playoffs, guy has Breeze, Colson, and Graham. So come on, fucking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, America's Toilet Bowl, Pittsburgh.
Sums it up pretty well, actually.
Red Hart said that.
Wrestling.
Something's going on in New Orleans, man. They're just not playing right. So definitely Pittsburgh for me.
They have, Breeze has just fallen off a cliff for talent.
Yeah.
They've become the Aints again. They ain't knowing how to play football.
They definitely ain't knowing how to play defense. That's for damn sure.
They're not putting bounties on people, so they can't win a game.
That didn't happen.
I don't know. Yeah, well.
Moving on to Cincinnati.
No, we've already talked about Cincinnati. You're looking at it wrong. We got the 1-10 Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the 3-8 New York Giants. Yeah, I'm picking the Giants.
That's pretty sad that we can take a 3-win team and, you know, pretty much guarantee that they're going to win the game. Give me the Giants.
Are we sure that they can beat Jacksonville, though? Part of me wants to say Jacksonville.
Where's the game at?
It's in Jacksonville.
I'm taking Jacksonville.
Jacksonville could win it.
I'm taking Jacksonville.
I don't know. New York was, like, the Giants actually looked pretty solid last week. I'm going to go with the Giants, so.
And if I saw right, I think they're on like an 8-game losing streak.
Something like that. All right. Miguel, did you throw out your pick there?
I'll take the Giants, but it's going to be like a 12-6 game.
All right, next up we have the 7-4 San Diego Chargers at the 7-4 Baltimore Ravens. I'm picking the Ravens.
Yep, Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's playing good. San Diego is not. I'll take Baltimore.
Ravens.
Baltimore is a team that I think is playing under the radar, so I think they're the ones that are going to go pretty far in the playoffs, too. But I'll take them in this game.
All right, the 9-2 Arizona Cardinals at the 4-7 Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals on this one because the Falcons are just terrible.
Yep, Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I've stuck with them this far. I might as well just keep riding that train. Give me Arizona.
Yeah, Cardinals. In the Battle of the Birds there, the Falcons' wings are going to get clipped again.
I agree with that.
And that brings us down to our Monday night game. The 6-5 Miami Dolphins hosting the 2-9 New York Jets with their new starting quarterback. Back to Geno Smith, and I'm going to pick the Miami Dolphins.
I'm really high on the Dolphins right now. They're playing good football. When they lose, it's not by much. There's been a couple of mishaps. But, yeah, give me Miami.
Yeah, I'm very clearly on the Miami bandwagon. Give me Miami.
Yeah, the Dolphins are just going to put another nail in the coffin of Rex Ryan's career in New York.
Yep.
Which, by the way, he does not deserve in any way, shape, or form, but he's going to get the brunt of what the GM didn't give him to work with.
And when they did get players, I mean, they're not relevant anymore.
Well, and they're pieces that don't fit, like Percy Harvin.
Right, yeah, no. And Chris Johnson, that he don't fit there either.
Yeah, I don't even know if he ain't playing much anymore. I think it's pretty much Ivory at this point.
All right, that will do it for the show this week. Thank you, Dan, for coming on. Thank you, Miguel. Thank you, Carp. And, well, the other two, you're on every fucking week, so fuck you.
Fuck you, too.
Yep, fuck you.
Before we go, would you guys like to any plugs? Start with our usual of Mop.
At the Mop Jockey.
FTW.
You can find me every week on NFL Easy Picks and at FTW 780. She plugged our own show.
You plug a show that we're already on the. You don't. I guess if it's not a cucumber, you don't understand what a good plug is.
I was making a joke, you jackass.
No. He understands perfectly what a good plug is.
No. LOL.
Carp?
Yeah, it's still no Movember, for those who believe in it. I've got a terrible molester mustache going on for this cause. Any and all donations are truly appreciated at my Mobro account, which is mobro.co/killercarp. This is for men's health, so since this is an NFL podcast and we are men, we should be taking care of our prostates and testicles. As well, stablewars.com.
Now, is that site a Canadian-only site, or is it open to everybody?
It's worldwide.
Cool, I'll have to check that out.
And if you donate to me, I believe it's $10 or more, you actually get a tax receipt for a charitable donation.
I was hoping I'd get something, you know, maybe a little handy, something, you know?
Well, it's for dudes, so if you want handy from a
dude. He wants another dude to come check his testicles, is what he's saying. Do they do that for him?
All right.
And you got any plugs there, Miguel, you want to throw out?
Nope.
Let's see. Well, I know he's on Twitter at MigaWatt.
Yep.
And he's having problems on the call, of course. But that will do it for us here. And then the NFL Easy Picks right here on KFAB Sports Radio, where it's all a work. And it's due for the end of regulation time.
Shane, did you just turn on your vibrator or something?
I don't. Something's up with my heater. Like, it's making a god awful vibrating noise.
Thank you for listening to NFL Easy Picks on KFABE Sports Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at KFABE Sports and at NFL Easy Picks. Email the show at anythingpicks@gmail.com and be sure to use hashtag NFL Easy Picks.